Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Gazelle, the online marketplace for buying and selling used gadgets. Shop from a variety of certified pre-owned electronics or trade one in for cash. Give a new life to a used device. Visit Gazelle.com today. And by Tracker. Tracker makes losing things a thing of the past. Pair Tracker to your smartphone, attach it to any item, and find its precise location with the tap of a button. Visit thetracker.com right now and enter promo code AAA for 30% off your entire order. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage process into the 21st century with a fast, easy, and completely online process. Check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/android. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 282, and we're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm... No, we have no one else. That's it.
That's it.
This is it.
And All About Android first. Just the two of us, me and Jason, are going to ride this show to the end.
I think, yes. Yeah, so we were, before the show, we were kind of like searching through the schedule of episodes, because in our show doc, we have a schedule all the way down to episode one, and it catalogs everyone that's ever been on, any episode where we've been out, who's been out, all that kind of stuff. I couldn't find one where it was just you and I. I could find some episodes where it was you and Eileen. Yep. Or me and Eileen, but never the two of us. Can we do this wrong?
This combination. It took 282 iterations for this to occur. And it's important to note that our good friend Florence Ion is not here this week. She's actually off covering the LG event, I believe, right?
Yeah, she's at the LG V20 event, which is happening right now. So she's there. I think she's fans of this show may or may not already know, but she's announced it, and she gave me her blessing to announce it on the show. But she is now an employee at Android Central.
Great, which is a great spot for her. She's just focusing on the Android stuff. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so, she's super excited. And obviously, you know, we talk about we cover their stories on the show all the time. So excellent place to be. So she's actually there with them right now. It was pretty important, you know, with this first event, and she's in San Francisco. So I have a feeling they're going to have her going to a lot of the local events, you know, since they have someone down on the ground here, just natively, basically. She's going to be there covering that.
Listen, it was a long weekend. Hopefully you had fun camping. We're going to figure it out. It's just you and me. Let's do this.
All right. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, actually. This has been a really, really busy week in the world of hardware with IFA going on in Berlin. So we've got an overwhelming mountain of hardware announcements from IFA to pour over. But there's also been like crazy leaky news, things happening that are kind of calling forth to the next month or so of what we can expect from Google specifically. We're going to be discussing the what we think is to be the birth of the Pixel phone. Yes, it sounds like that's probably going to happen. The death of Project Ara, and I know Ron probably has some words there. And the explosive recall of the Galaxy Note 7. See what I did there?
You had to do it, didn't
had
you?
Had to go there. Yeah. But hey, you know, we have we don't have Brian in the technical direction chair today. We have Mr. Mac and Josh in the chair. Do you think you're ready for the news, Josh? Do you think you can handle it?
I don't know. I don't know.
I've talked it up, so let's do it. It's time for the news.
You can plug in Android news as much as you want, and it won't explode, probably. It's time for Android news.
Okay, this is good.
All right.
A little hesitant at the beginning, but I appreciate where you were going.
I got that one from Kara. I can't even lie.
Oh, she fed that to you?
Yeah, I need writers, you guys. I need writers. Wow.
Don't we all? Okay, so let's talk about some of the news here. Android Police has the scoop that Nexus, we talked a little bit about this last week. Nexus is out. Nexus as like a brand might be going away. In its place would be
Pixel, supposedly. They say that this should all happen on October 4th. So a little bit less than a month away. Remember, this is not official, so anything can happen. But apparently a lot is earmarked for the 4th, at least based on Android Police's sources. They say that the Sailfish and Marlin phones by HTC will be shown off at the event. And that's the, those are the devices that are, you know, at least by design, look like they're fashioned after the HTC One A9. As we said, scrapped the Nexus branding, and that's in place of the Pixel branding. In this case, it would be the Pixel phone and the Pixel XL. And, you know, we have heard that these devices, by and large, are very similar. Internally, they're almost identical. It's just kind of like one's smaller, one's larger. So that kind of makes sense in that regard. Google Home, we might finally actually see the air freshener turned home smarterizer. I don't know if that works.
It's gonna freshen your home with intelligence.
Yes, exactly. Freshen your home. It's just a nice smelling knowledge. Daydream VR, of course, because you know VR is baked into Nougat underneath with Daydream spec, but we haven't really heard anything about any devices that are Daydream compatible. More or less. I think we heard about one a couple of months ago, but it was one of those "oh, we're first" sort of things. But we don't have any hardware like, you know, that like VR viewers that's compatible, and then 4K capable Chromecast. That's all for starters. What do you think, Ron?
That is a lot of stuff packed into an announcement that we were just expecting phones. But it makes sense because this is the big consumer electronics push as we, you know, start moving into the holiday period. So, you know, phones, television, smart home, these are all things that could be Christmas gifts. And so it makes sense mm-hmm. that they want to get them out there to everybody beforehand. Pixel and Pixel XL, I mean, I just feel like they're playing a shell game with branding names. I mean, the Pixel has a history with the laptop line, but it's not like that was any stronger brand than Nexus. So I think it's just a rose by any other name in this case.
I didn't realize it until you said it out loud, but Pixel XL sounds weird.
Pixel XL. Pixel XL. Yeah, there it is. Pixel.
Does kind of have a Huawei watch quality to it.
Yeah, it really does. But I mean, 4K Chromecast is pretty cool if you have a 4K television and you want to get that. It's assuming the content that you're streaming is in 4K, but it's nice that it will have that support, as I imagine that's probably going to be another big push around Christmas for 4K televisions. I don't know. I mean, I'm just the one I'm on bated breath for is I know we're all excited for the phones, but I want to see that Google Home. I want that air freshener really badly.
Mm-hmm. You want to smell that Google Home. It smells so good.
Smell that knowledge. Come on, give me Google.
Just seep it in. yeah, I mean, I can understand Google's thinking around maybe, you know, if they're rebranding Nexus, going with Pixel as opposed to going with something completely different, only in the sense that at this point, Google has kind of established that Pixel represents its in-home or, you know, in-company designed and manufactured devices. But in this case, that's not true, right? We, at least as far as we know, they're HTC designed, or they're HTC manufactured with heavy influence from Google, but maybe not that heavy because it looks a lot like the HTC One A9 design. Also, the Pixel line of products, at least until this point, has a very kind of specific design language to it, very kind of edged, boxy, you know, kind of squared off corners, total flat aluminum, not a whole lot of bells and whistles to the design, not a very unique looking design, but definitely the Pixel stuff looks very similar to itself, to each other. And I'm just,
yeah, but I could see, and if they are, you know, if Sailfish and Marlin are indeed by HTC and they're modeled after the HTC One A9 design, that's not too far off. That's not too dramatically different than the metal based, you know, kind of look of the phone, you know. So, but I just don't. I mean, what does Pixel mean in this case? You know what I mean? Like Pixel C and the previous Pixel were, you know, were laptops that were aimed at driving Chrome OS and things like that. So now they're just, you know, leveraging that, but then I don't think there's anything there to leverage. So again, I think they're just changing the name just to change the name and have a new thing to talk about and a new branding thing. Cause you know, they've decided, I guess, that Nexus is tired and,
right.
and or that it's a failure in the marketplace. Who knows? But, you know, that's why I'm not too like blown away. I would have been more impressed if they came up with some sort of new product name that meant something. Maybe we'll find out in the presentation what they're going to redefine what Pixel means for Google and for all of us Google users.
Yeah, so often we hear these leaks and they are pretty on, but they're not dead on. And, you know, things like that could actually be, you know, the type of thing that you hear in advance. And it makes perfect sense that it would be that. And then you hear it and you go, oh, okay, it really actually wasn't. Now, that might not be all that we see during this event, because there was also
one more thing. Are you doing a one
more
thing? There
was one more thing. This is my one more thing. It's actually not mine. It belongs to EvLeaks, Evan Blass, who's been on the show in the past, and he's very, very prolific with the leaks that he puts out on Twitter, and he's very accurate most of the time. So when EvLeaks says that there will be possibly by the end of the year a tablet, which is a successor to the Nexus 7 brand made by Huawei, that's when your ears perk up a little bit, because the Nexus 7 was a pretty nice, at least for its time, kind of a family of tablets. It only lasted, you know, 2 years. There were two different models. The last update was 2013, but it's the 7-inch tablet form factor, which in reality is really, I mean, less than an inch larger than the 6P, which kind of blows me away when you think about it like that. But I don't know. Does this get you excited, or are you kind of like, on the tablet now?
I loved my Nexus 7. Although I love my Nexus 9 more. I would like this more if it was an 8 or 9 incher as opposed to the 7 incher, because I feel like the 7-inch tablet's time is kind of past. But is this going to be called a Pixel? You know, like, is this the Pixel 7? Like what you know? I'll be curious if this is true, how this gets branded and worked into it. As we all know, they're retiring the Nexus 9, so they are in need of a current line tablet to push people towards. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see at least something from Huawei like this, whether it's 7 inches or not.
Right. And they also, Evan also put out 4 gigs of RAM on that as well. We don't really know a whole lot more beyond that. I think I found some sites that were claiming to know something about it. I couldn't get it. I couldn't back it up with anything that I felt too confident in. So, but I trust Evan and his sources. So, yeah, I mean, if they were to do that tablet and not put it in the Pixel brand when everything else was, that would be weird. So I almost think part of the announcement, it would have to be part of the Pixel family, because you could see that how they would market that and, you know, bring it out as like a family of devices.
Well, we've got about a month and then we'll find out. And while we're talking about the Nexus 7, the chat room was all kind of rallying around that they should just be calling them Google phones. Which then led me to think, like, could they get away with calling it the G phone? I mean, I know that's kind of eye rolling in competition with the iPhone, but you say G phone and people will know exactly what that means.
Yeah, I suppose so. I don't know. I just don't like that name very much.
Oh no, I hate it too. But Gaphone. Yeah. Just call it Gaphone.
Gaphone.
Like the Guach. I miss the Guach. Remember the days of the Guach?
Oh, I miss those days. I also remember, by the way, another day that I also miss is very recently, I think it was last week, the Note line celebrated its birthday. It's the initial Note launched, was it 5 or 6 years? I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was very, very cool to go back in time and check and do a search for Google, you know, in Google for hardware reviews of the original Note, just to see what people are saying about it just being this gigantic thing, and compare it with what we know now. And it's just, man, we live in a different world in such a short amount of time.
Yeah. How much has changed since then?
For sure.
Fascinating. Well, we're going to talk a little about the Note in a bit, but first, Josh, I know you're filling in for Brian, but hopefully you've got the funeral music at the ready. And if not, then I'll move on.
Oh, there we go. All right. Good work.
All right.
I knew we hired the right guy.
Nice. There we go. So,
you can't even do it, can you?
It's hard.
I know that this cuts to your core, because you were very, very pro Aura. Project Aura.
I literally did a gasp, oh my God, spit take when I looked at Twitter when I saw this come across the feed last week. And basically, in regards to Project Aura, which for those who need to be reminded, that was the modularized phone that Google was in heavy research and development with. The idea was that you had this, you know, your main phone backing, and you could snap on a better camera or a speaker set or something like that, almost like Lego bricks for your phone. That I was very excited about. It was scheduled to roll out in Puerto Rico last year, but that got delayed. They talked about rolling out dev kits at I.O. this year with an eyeing the end of the year to ship those. And then a lot of stuff happened. Basically, Aura lost its director, Paul Ermenko, last year. And then the ATAP, which is the division that Aura fell under at Google, the head of ATAP, Regina Dugan, left for Facebook a couple of weeks before the I.O. announcement. And there's been a lot of question marks as to whether or not this is going to happen or not. Now, Reuters is reporting that Google has halted the project. They say it's a part of a broad streamlining within Google's organization as they revamp their hardware division under Rick Osterloh, Flo's favorite guy. And basically there's concerns that, you know, separating the phone into components actually slows everything down and makes the phone expensive and bad on battery life, which I get, but I hate to think that that would be that they couldn't solve that. And basically what, you know, this is the kind of first sign that, you know, the Alphabet's X division, aka the Moonshot Factory, is possibly facing some internal pressure to produce marketable products and ship them, which is something that's very, very hard to do in the hardware space.
Yeah.
Especially when you're coming up with, you know, really out there concepts like a modular phone and, you know, and probably learning from what they've learned from Google Glass. And we always go back to talk about Google Glass whenever we're talking about this X division and, you know, what an unsuccessful hardware rollout looks like. You know, and then, of course, the dog pile happened and there were pundits saying, you know, modular phones are a bad idea and they should never have done this. I disagree. I love this idea. I wanted to see it in reality. I thought there was so much opportunity for third party accessories and, you know, like I just think it's so cool. And we're already seeing it with all the LG G, the G4, G5, G5. With the slide out components is doing it a little bit. The Motorola, the Moto Mods where you can, you know, pop on a camera, pop on speakers, pop on that projector, which is cool. But that's in a much bigger scale and they're rolling it out. But I love the look of Aura, their little blocks and everything. And I'm just very upset. I'm just very, very upset.
Yeah, it is a bummer that we will not see it. You've been very positive on Aura over the few years that we've heard about it. I've been positive on it in concept, but I just never understood how the reality was going to bear it out. I never understood, you know, because there was for the longest time it was the understanding, at least in the press, that Aura, like, this wasn't an experimental thing. Google, you know, somewhere along the line gave people that were writing about this phone the impression that their intention was not for this to be an enthusiast device or, you know, kind of a strange outlier, but that this was going to be a mainstream thing. And I never thought it was going to be mainstream. I don't know how you make something like this mainstream. It sounds great on paper. I just don't think people want that kind of control necessarily. Certain types of people do, but not everybody.
I don't know. I mean, like, I really think that it would fall somewhere between mainstream and enthusiast. I definitely think that there is a marketplace and purely just for look at the success of Legos. Right? Something as simple as build your own blocks to make whatever you want applied to the phone. So, you know, the thing is when we sit down and we say, sketch out your perfect phone, we all have different things that are important to us. Some might say battery life. Some might say camera lens. Some might say speakers. Some might say, you know, there are all these kind of components that manifest themselves in the physical devices. And this product would allow you to make the phone of your dreams. And the reason why I liked it was because it's a crazy idea. In this world of really narrow defined specs and product lines, and we complain about fragmentation. We complain about companies that have, you know, five phones when they should just have two, a big one and a small one and all this sort of stuff. But to have the ability to, you know, suffer maybe a little bit in width of the device or size of the device, but be able to make the phone you want. That's I could market the hell out of that. That's a fun concept. And, you know, and then you get the Harman Kardons of the world and the Hasselblads and the all these you know kind of accessory makers to make the little little snap-on plug-in devices, and then you know it could be great. I mean, I'm definitely seeing it more of a, you know, through rose-colored glasses, not taking into account the performance issue, not taking into account the battery life issues, like all those things that make it work. Maybe they just couldn't get it work to work. Maybe it was a moonshot that they couldn't get to a production reality. But I just think that there probably was a market for this, and wouldn't be huge, but you don't know until you put it out in the world.
Yeah, so. It would still be very cool. I still would love to have the opportunity to hold a Project Aura phone and have the experience of taking a module out and putting it back in, because it looked very satisfying. It looked kind of like snap that into place and there you go. You've got this, I don't know, patchwork of a phone, but I really like the promise of it. I just didn't know how. And we should also stress the fact that this is not an official announcement that Google has made yet. This is a report from Reuters. Could end up being completely false. You just never know with this kind of stuff. But if they're really trying, because you keep hearing about this where Google or Alphabet really wants to kind of hone its hardware division and especially its moonshots into things that are actually going to be manufacturable, things that could actually be turned into projects. For the longest time, they've operated these aspects of their business with free rein to just kind of play around, and much in the way that you see in Silicon Valley in the HBO show. And now it seems like they're kind of tightening the reins a little bit and saying, okay, well, what's possible now? What are the things that we should be focusing our time on? And let's get things shipped. Let's ship things. We don't even have the first Project Aura phone yet. Project Tango phone. And that was that's already been announced. We've got a couple of weeks left in summer. Got to get that out.
It's funny though, because like from a business standpoint, I totally get that idea that you should always be shipping, and that mantra, and that you definitely should, you know, be making sure that you're making products that can be marketable and shipped. But at the same time, it's the moonshot division.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's a bit of a, you know, you're talking out of two mouths, or a bit of an oxymoron to have a division dedicated at coming up with crazy ideas and telling them, but they better be shippable. No, that's a product division. You know, so either stop calling them the moonshot division and you know, bring them back down to earth to make actual, you know, marketable products and lower the expectations on the craziness, or keep that crazy. Because the thing is, the crazy is what sells the Google idea. You know, Sergey interrupting the keynote for skydiving Google Glasses, and maybe that's a Google of the past. Maybe Google now is moving away from that, moving more towards, this is our Pixel line, these are the products we're making, and these are what's shipping. And yes, that's good business sense. It's a little boring, but it's probably will, you know, net them out better in the long run.
I think I like what you said there. Keep that crazy. Keep that crazy, Google.
Keep that crazy.
Don't get rid of that crazy. Keep that crazy.
That's why we're here. I wait on bated breath every week for the crazy. Show me the crazy. I love it. So.
Instead, we'll show you how we're getting rid of the crazy. Well, here's some crazy news for you. Tell me if this surprises you. Samsung Galaxy Note 7s have there've been reports of exploding battery incidents. Some of them look pretty nasty, and apparently Samsung is taking them seriously and pretty rapidly, I might add. Got to give them credit for that. In a costly way, by stopping the sale of the devices, recalling shipped units, and reportedly dropping its own internally manufactured Samsung SDI batteries that account for some 70% of the Galaxy Note 7s that they have. The remaining 30% are all supplied by Chinese manufacturer ATL, and those have not seen these battery issues. So Samsung's pretty certain this is isolated to the batteries that they've manufactured. So they're recalling these devices. They're going to replace them with the ATL batteries going forward. Samsung SDI will pick up the cost of the recall, and it's not pretty. I mean, Samsung, man, they have so much momentum, like positive momentum, good rapport with consumers with their premium devices right now. This is exactly what they do not need right now to keep that momentum going.
Yeah, this was the tech news equivalent for Samsung of like screeching tires on the pavement.
Yeah.
It was just like I saw when this came up, and I'm like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, they do the right thing. They're going to do it right, but I know it doesn't tank the Note 7, which up to this point is a great phone, and aside from exploding,
that small little issue of explosions. You know, global recall of 2.5 million units. Not all of those are sold, I don't think. Like, I think a lot of that is shipment to, you know, places to sell. Operating loss of around $16 million for third quarter expected. But this is going to also result in sales decline, because you have to imagine, like, you know, the people who had placed their orders, some people are going to have second thoughts and some people will retract their orders and go with something else. All in all, Bloomberg's estimates have this costing upwards of $1 billion in the end, based on just all the moving pieces of this, the costs of the recall. Any U.S. customers with a Note 7 can actually exchange this for a brand new unit as early as this week. I don't know if that exchange is happening yet. You just need to contact your carrier or Samsung to start that process. And they'll even allow you to exchange for an S7 or an S7 Edge, and they'll pay you the difference. If you want to do that, they'll also give you a $25 credit, gift card or carrier bill credit, for your inconvenience.
So. Sounds like they're doing the right thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's you can't anticipate this.
Yeah. Or if they did anticipate that, then this is a pretty bad
That's a much bigger story. Yeah.
We don't really know.
We don't really know, but I doubt that they would ship it knowing that this was going to happen. I got to imagine this caught them by surprise, and they're just dealing with it at this point. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's I got to imagine with every one of these product launches, they have an emergency break glass plan. Like, God forbid something goes wrong like this, and that's why they can roll this out so quickly.
Yeah.
Not because they were anticipating a problem, but because their risk management and all that sort of stuff is saying, hey, listen, we need to be ready in case there is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and these explosions, you know, when you look them up and you see them, they are not awesome. Like, one of them happened while the guy was asleep. He had it plugged in. And I mean, woke up to basically a fire on his phone. I mean, the thing is just demolished. You can imagine if that were to... I mean... It's probably likely in that scenario. You have to imagine that it's a factor of it being charged, you know, so you wouldn't be charging it in your pocket unless you've got an external battery, I suppose. But yeah, that's, you don't mess around with that. And it's always interesting with exploding battery stories too, because you never know how, like, I just in my head kind of assume that anytime you're making millions upon millions upon millions of things with lithium ion batteries, that there will always be a certain small, very small, probably percentage of cases where the battery just explodes. And that's just kind of like part of doing business in the battery world. So I never know at what point it reaches the level where they're like, okay, this is a big deal versus this was just an isolated incident.
Right. And just the fact that lithium ion explodes, period. I mean, I don't know if you've flown recently, Jason, or noticed, but now they're more, you can't carry lithium ion, large lithium ion batteries in luggage because it explodes under pressure and like all this, like it can be volatile, and that's dangerous.
Yep. So. For sure. All right. Let's do an ad before IFA.
All right. Well, let's listen. If you need to get rid of your phone for whatever reason you might, you want to head over to our sponsor, Gazelle at gazelle.com. We thank them for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. Gazelle is the trusted online marketplace for buying and selling used electronics. You could trade in your old device for cash, buy a certified pre-owned one, or do both. For trade-ins, you simply visit gazelle.com. You locate your device and get an instant quote. Shipping is free and payment is fast. If you're looking to buy a certified pre-owned device, Gazelle has a variety of Samsung Galaxy phones at great prices to choose from. Just saying. Each device is fully inspected and backed by a 30-day return policy and sold without a carrier contract, which is huge. Go to gazelle.com, see what your old device is worth, and check out the selections of certified pre-owned devices. Gazelle is now providing financing on all devices by Affirm. You simply provide your basic information and you get instantly approved and pay the offer in 3, 6, or 12 months. Easy monthly payments can be made through bank transfer, check, or debit card. Just select financing with Affirm at checkout. Gazelle also offers a 12-month warranty for all cell phones powered by Assurance Solutions that covers water damage, cracked screens, hardware defects, there you go, and more. And they've got help available 24/7 to process claims and return your device ASAP. Don't miss out on getting the best value on certified pre-owned devices. Go to gazelle.com today. Any device you buy there is available in good and excellent conditions. Good condition shows some gentle signs of wear and tear, but offers consumers great prices on still great devices. All devices have been put through a rigorous 30-point inspection process, ensuring that they are in perfect working order, and they're available to be supported by all the major carriers, AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and Sprint. So give new life to your used electronics. Trade them in for cash or buy certified pre-owned. Visit gazelle.com today and walk away with a brand new phone or a certified pre-owned phone and have a new device at your hand. Thanks to gazelle.com.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Gazelle. All right. It is time to cover not one but two blocks of hardware from IFA. Let's take a look.
Get ready.
I feel like I need to do some stretching. I need to get, you know, like in hardware shape. We got two blocks of hardware.
Yes. We got a lot.
So IFA is going on right now in Berlin, and that's a big consumer electronics show, not just phones and stuff like that, but all sorts of gadgets, gizmos and gadgets and products. Really interesting. But of course, it is an international show, so a lot of the players come to unveil new devices or show off their latest stuff. And so first up is Sony, who showed off the Xperia XZ, which is a 5.2-inch phone with a 1080p display. It's running a Snapdragon 820 processor with 3 gig of RAM, 32 gig of storage. It's got a micro SD and USB-C, 2900 milliamp battery, Sony square design, but with rounded edges to give it a little soft touch to it, and no pricing for the Xperia XZ. So we're taking the X and the Z and merging them into the XZ. So find that interesting. but they also showed off the X Compact, which is a 4.6-inch phone with a 720p display, running a Snapdragon 650 processor with 3 gig of RAM, up to 32 gig of storage, and no price on this point as well either. But it's important to note that both phones have got 23-megapixel 4K cameras with laser autofocus, image stabilization, and a shutter button. So there you go. That's the latest from the Sony side. Jason, what do you make of these?
Do we think that Sony is going to come back into the U.S. in a major way? I feel like we see a lot of these phones, yet they're so underrepresented here in the U.S. I think they look nice. I'm happy that Sony is kind of rounding itself a little bit. I've liked their design. They definitely, Sony with their phones has had a very specific kind of design language in the past. I like qualities of it, but it's just too rigid. It's too sharp. Like, I find it, when I've played around with some of their devices, it's actually to the point of being uncomfortable to me. And I know everybody has a different level. So I'm happy to see that they're kind of rounding things out a little bit. That works for my aesthetic, I suppose.
I just don't, like you said, we've seen a lot of these phones come and go, and we see people, you know, kind of swear by previous Sony phones, but for whatever reason, they're either not penetrating our market, or Sony just doesn't care because they're too focused on the international market.
Yeah. I mean, Sony cameras are good. Vlad Savov at The Verge spent some time with the cameras. He was not impressed. So I don't know if that ends up being, you know, a universality as far as these phones are concerned, because they really kind of talked up the cameras on these phones, and apparently they're mediocre, and that's not necessarily what you want. But I'm happy to see that addressing the smaller phone market as well, which we're starting to see little bits here and there of this happening. But I know that we have certain people who follow this show who are, you know, writing regularly about, man, phones are just too big nowadays. We need the decently spec'd smaller form factor phones. So having the X Compact is a good alternative, I suppose. Asus. Let's see here. Asus brought a couple of things Android-y to IFA. First, we've got the ZenWatch 3, which in this case, they actually really changed the design of the ZenWatch. The previous two ZenWatches have been the kind of rectangular watch face. Yep. Flo was really positive on the ZenWatch 2, if I remember correctly. This time, they're going for the rounded display. It's a 1.39-inch AMOLED display at 400x400 resolution. They say it's thinner than the Apple Watch. It's 0.39 inches thick in total. So that's going to be nice for people who, you know, always feel like their wear devices are jutting, you know, outward from their wrist a million miles into the air. It was running a Snapdragon 2100, which is actually a Snapdragon processor that's designed for wear devices. It has three crown buttons on the side. I'm like, what are you going to do with three crown buttons? Android Wear only really support, you know, has in the spec for one of those. The other two, I guess, are meant for launching your favorite Wear apps. So they're like shortcut buttons for getting to a specific app. I don't know if that's
something you could do with a watch.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose so. On one hand, I was like, okay, I guess that's kind of cool. You don't want to navigate the menu to get to your stopwatch or whatever. Right. So you do that instead. You just hit the button and go right to it. But then I don't know if it's just a matter of over-designing it. up to 2 days on a single charge, and they say €249 in Germany and U.S. in October, then a global release beyond. What do you think? Do you think it was a good idea to go with a rounded display?
I mean, it gives some diversification from the previous models and does differentiate it from the Apple Watch in that regard. It seems like that's the one that they're worried about. If they're not worried about, but if they're making a big deal out of the thickness and it being thinner than the Apple Watch, and it looks totally different. I mean, it looks at first glance with those, you know, we joke about those two extra buttons, but it just looks like a regular watch, which is, I think, the goal of, you know, wear devices now is to not look like a weirdo piece of tech. Sure. It's to look like a regular watch that happens to have cool tech inside of it. So,
All righty.
Good job, Asus.
And then they also announced the ZenPad 3S 10. So this is a tablet. It's a 9-point. I know. It's a lovely name.
Is that an equation?
What do you come out with in the end? Well, obviously, the end result is a 9.7-inch display. It's 2048 by 1536. Has an aluminum body. They say it has the world's thinnest bezels for a tablet. So there you go. If you're a bezel freak, it's going to make you happy, apparently. Hexa-core MediaTek 8176 processor, 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage. Has a micro SD card slot if you want to throw some, you know, music, movies, or whatever on there. 5,900 milliamp hour battery. It does have USB-C. As its port, it also supports Quick Charge 3.0, and that's really nice, especially in a tablet, because the tablets have the larger batteries, so it's nice to be able to get those charged up quickly. 5.8 millimeters thick, has a fingerprint reader, which I would love to have a fingerprint reader on my tablets going forward. And that actually is a first for Asus tablets at this point, their first tablet with a fingerprint reader. It also supports their Z Stylus for stylizing on the display. €379, no date or U.S. release info at this point for that release, which you find a lot with IFA for whatever reason. It's like, here's hardware. Don't have any information on when or how much it's going to cost, but there you go. I think it just kind of takes me back a little bit because I'm not used to seeing any tablet news anymore. I feel like tablets are just, man, they've fallen out of style to a certain degree.
They really have, and not just on the Android side, but just across the board.
Yeah.
We don't see, you know, aside from the enormous newspaper side iPad, you don't see much innovation going on the other side of the street either. And it's tough because I love my Nexus 9, and I love the idea of tablets, but they just really haven't gotten picked up by the zeitgeist other than, you know, being used as cash registers and things like that.
But it's got a slick, slick design, the ZenPad S8. Was really nice. So this is kind of just a little bit bigger for her if you like your tablets to be closer to the 10-inch category. And yeah, I think it's got enough bells and whistles to keep people happy as far as that's concerned. I think for the most part, most of the hardware, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I didn't really look specifically for it, but I think it's all releasing with Marshmallow. I didn't really notice much of it that's releasing with Nougat. I think this is Marshmallow as well. So,
I mean, that's got to be tight. I would be very surprised if it was shipping with Nougat. All right, so moving on from tablets and from wearables and over to HTC at IFA. They made the HTC One A9's update official and made some curious decisions now. So it's still got a metal body, 5 inches. The display drops from the original A9 from 1080 down to 720p LCD display. It's running a MediaTek Helio P10 processor. It's got 2 and 3 gig of RAM. Is that correct? 2300 milliamp battery. It's got the fingerprint sensor, and the whole point of this is that this is a mid-range phone, so that probably explains why the drop in display. It's meant to be cheaper than the A9, which is, you know, the A9 sells for $499, so but beyond that they didn't say how much this would be or when it's going to be available or where. So, you know, this is a downgrade from the A9. It's, you know, a lesser display, not as good of a camera, no OIS. It's got it's taller, wider, thicker, heavier. So it's really is on the outskirts of the mid-range phone, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. They just really dialed it down. This better be like a $200 phone, given all the stuff that they've dialed down. HTC says not to worry, that they actually tease that they're going to be showing off something a little more edgier on September 20th, and it's most likely going to be the Desire 10 family, the Lifestyle and Pro, with the Pro being a more premium device. So that's, you know, if you're looking for a mid-range from HTC, HTC One A9, got to wait a couple more weeks for the edgy one.
Yeah, A9S is definitely a step down. Like you said, without knowing the price, it's really hard to know where to kind of peg it as far as whether the things they got rid of were good elements to get rid of in order to achieve a certain price point. But it sounded like anybody that was kind of privy to the announcement was not super impressed by it, but.
And it's not surprising. I mean, I feel like they did this already when, you know, this is the evolution of their line, is that mm-hmm. they release a phone like the A9 and then come out the A9S, which is a downgrade version before they do the next one, you know? So I'm not surprised. And they're going to, you know, this mid-range to low-end phone does have an audience. And so, of course, they're going to serve it. And mm-hmm. of course, we're not going to be impressed by those specs, but somebody not looking to not spend a ton of money would be. So,
yeah. But then you've got, you know, that we've talked about a million times. I have the Honor. Honor 8. I just got this from I had to get this from Best Buy because I guess through Best Buy is the only way that you get the blue version. Ooh. So if you go to the site, you don't get the blue option. You have to get it through Best Buy. So I haven't even opened yet. Definitely gonna play around with this. But you know, you've got, like, let's say the HTC One A9. So it's less than $499.99 is what they're saying. Yeah. So let's say it's $400. But then you compare it against something like the Honor 8 or the ZTE Axon 7. You know, these are also $400 devices, but they pack, you know, better processors than MediaTek inside. Yeah. You know, they have a better display than 720p. So it's just, it's so competitive in that price range.
Yeah, I think that price range is what's going to be key. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, I wouldn't. If the A9S is $400, then they blew it. You know, yeah. It's got to come lower than the Honors and things like that, because it isn't in a class. You know, that the quality at that dollar, at that price point, has shifted.
Yeah.
So you know, I would expect the A9S to be, you know, more like $250, $300. As opposed to $400. So that's the only way it survives.
Yeah, that might be a better value proposition for it. So before we take a break, we have a video mail. We got another video mail. Very excited. Love getting the video mails. Please keep doing it. AAA@twit.tv. It's just a little more dynamic and it gets your face on the show, and then you can feel proud that you made it on there. We heard from Ian, who has a headphone port question. Let's see what Ian has to say.
Hey, AAA show. Ian here in Sacramento. Been a HTC user, actually, since the Hero was my first phone I got to play around with from them. Anyway, always been an Android user, but my wife recently got an iPhone, and though I love Android for pretty much every reason that you could think of over iPhone, her iPhone does have one feature that I would really love to be able to use, but I haven't been able to find anything on it yet. Maybe you guys can help. Anytime she plugs in the headphone jack, or a cable into the headphone jack, the screen automatically turns on. Is there a way to do this with Android? And if so, let me know. I'm rooted. I use the exposed modules, so I'm no stranger to that. Any answer would be great. Keep up the good work. Love the show. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you, Ian.
Well, before we answer, I think we need to address a couple of things with Ian.
Okay, go.
Okay. First off, Ian, there's some badass axes behind you there.
Yeah.
Those are some cool guitars. That was some good stuff there. I dig it. So that's on the plus side. On the negative side, and maybe you were trying to accommodate to show off your guitars, but You got to rotate your phone to be hard, to be landscape, not portrait.
I think that probably in this case, portrait was intentional. How are you going to see the grand spectra? Oh, sorry, the grand scope of the guitars if it's not portrait? Landscape brings that. You know, he'd have to be going like this in order to get it all into the shot. That would have looked.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I think that I'm going to go with that. I'm going to believe that he knows well enough to hold that phone horizontally, but he wanted to show off his guitar. So there you go.
Hey, okay. he's rooted his phone. He knows a lot more than the average person. I'm gonna give him credit and say he just wanted to show off his guitar.
Yeah,
and I appreciate that because I'm a guitar fan. So you got a fan in us on that regard. As far as plugging a headphone cable into the headphone port and that triggering the display to turn on, I have to imagine that this is a simple automation thing. Tasker, you know, any of these automation apps that allow you to find a specific element of your phone, a specific trigger, and then act on that trigger would do this. But then at the same time, he says that he's rooted. So I have to imagine he knows Tasker at this point, and I'm guessing that he's tried it. But if you haven't, try something like that.
I want to say, and I'm coming at it with completely no experience or knowledge of it, but I feel like this is something you could do with Exposed. Do you know about the Exposed framework?
Yeah.
You know, XPOSED, which is basically it allows you to change the behavior of the operating system without touching or without accessing any of the APKs of the apps that you're running. So basically, it allows you to modify the operating system without actually modifying, you know, the individual apps themselves. Now I don't know if they have one that accommodates for this, but I would check out the Exposed framework, especially if you're rooted.
So. Yeah, and the other so that's a really good point. I have not spent a whole lot of time diving into the Exposed world, and I keep meaning to you know, I have a rooted phone here, and I would love to do a show like an Android App Arena show that focuses on Exposed modules, but I just haven't taken the time to do that.
It looks really robust. I mean, it looks really like, so I mean, that could be pretty cool, and I feel like the answer's in there somewhere. But
JJ in chat is even saying, didn't we feature in the arena an app that triggers for plugging in headphones? It's possible. At 282 episodes, I lose track. I'm not going to lie. It's very possible. And like, I was searching for some apps in regards to this, and I found an app that will launch an app when you plug in your headphone, but I went in there and tried to dive into settings to see if that would allow me to, you know, force the display to turn on the second you do that. I couldn't find that. I did find a lot of threads of people that say their phones already do this and they want to turn it off. So it's funny how some people have preferences for things, and then, you know, other people, they're like, why would I want this? I don't want this to happen. Turn it off.
So I found, I just did a quick search, and again, I haven't tested this. I don't know, but this app was updated yesterday, so I feel safe sharing with it. Josh is in the chat. It's called Headphone Connect.
Okay.
And honestly, I should have saved this for the arena. Dang it. But yeah, basically the description of the app says easily assign apps to launch as soon as you plug in your headphones.
I think that was the one that that I found.
So there it is. So, I mean, that at least lets you wake up the phone via an app. It just depends on what you want to do.
Yeah, this is really funny, actually, because more than one person in chat is kind of pointing this out. 2 weeks ago, I brought an app called Conscient into the arena. That's the contextual awareness app based on the, you know, the kind of specific context of your phone. You know, Android has this kind of built in to understand different contexts. Are you walking? Are you running? Are you this? Are you that? One of those is plugging in headphones. I just don't know. I can't remember. So this is the one that, yes, Headphone Connect is the one that I found yesterday when I was searching around. That's the one that Ron was just talking about. So that's a possibility. I played around with that, and I could only find ways to launch an app. So I don't know if it specifically would turn on the display to launch that app, or if you still have to turn on the display. It's possible that Conscient would do it, but I can't remember if any of the options in there based around kind of like, you know, operations that your phone can do, if one of those is turn on the display. If so, then there you go. That's another great way to do it. Thanks in chat for being nice in telling me that it was 2 weeks ago that I had an app that would do something like this. I just lose track, man. I cover so many apps these days. I honestly lose track of them. But you can check it out and see if that works. Ian, let us know, and send us some of your music, because I'm curious to hear how you play.
That'd be awesome. But I got to imagine there's something to do that. I would look at if you're rooted, definitely check the exposed framework and see if you can find it there.
Sure. All right, we're going to take a quick break and thank the sponsor of this episode. That is Tracker. We talk about all sorts of smart things on this show. For smart people, of course. We have many smart guests on this show all the time, but we have smart cars, we have smart phones, smart homes. Technology is literally making every single thing in our lives smart, but then you go and lose something and you do not feel smart anymore. Losing that stuff can make you feel less than smart, in fact, and Tracker makes losing things a thing of the past. If you have a habit of leaving your key, setting your keys down when you get home, and you don't know where you set them down, and then it's time to go and you can't find them anymore. Well, if you had Tracker attached to your keys, it's going to help you out with that. I'll tell you how. Tracker is a coin-sized device, helps you locate those keys or maybe your wallet, backpack, bicycles, computers, even pets in seconds. You just pair Tracker to your smartphone, attach it to any item. You'll find its precise location with the tap of a button. It's that easy. Your phone can track up to 10 devices at one time, and Tracker is enabled by Bluetooth LE. That's Bluetooth Low Energy. You can customize two-way separation alerts. Basically, what that means is you're going to be notified before you even leave your item behind. And if you lose your phone, you just press the Tracker button and your phone's going to ring, even if you happen to leave it on silent. You can also personalize your Tracker with laser-engraved messages or a customized printed image. I actually have one right here. You can take a look here. See, here, I'll take that often kind of show it with the reflections, the All About Android Tracker. Oh, with our little Android eyes.
Very cool.
There you go. And they give you inside, they give you the key ring, a little adhesive, so you can place it on anything that you want. Very neat stuff. With over 1.5 million devices, Tracker has the largest crowd GPS network in the world. So your lost item is going to show up on a map, even if it's miles away. The Tracker app records your lost item's last known location on a map. When another Tracker user comes within 100-foot range of your item, you'll receive a GPS update of your item's location. Tracker Atlas works with your Tracker Bravo or third-party Bluetooth Tracker to pinpoint your items on a customizable floor plan of your home. So you simply ask Tracker Atlas where your item is. You place your keys in a million different places. Now you just ask it and you'll instantly get an answer. No need to search anymore. You know exactly where it is. Go to thetracker.com. You'll never lose your possessions again. Plus, just for our audience, if you enter promo code AAA, you are going to get 30% off your entire order. That's thetracker.com. Promo code AAA for 30% off your entire Tracker order. And we thank Tracker for their support of All About Android. All right, we don't need to do another bumper because we're just doing more hardware.
Let's do another bumper.
Okay. You want to do the hardware bumper again, Josh? Sure, why not? Yeah, that works. Thank you. Thank you for that.
I just love the bumpers. They just add a little bit of color. So,
yeah, they lighten the mood a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about Lenovo, which had a very cool outing at IFA. We got a couple of Android-related things to talk about. First up is the Yoga Book. Their yoga line is very famous for stretching in different ways and doing all sorts of things that are very different, very outside of the norm for these kind of form factors. This is no different here. It's 10.1 inch, 1920 by 1200 IPS display, has an Intel Atom X5 processor, 8,500 milliamp hour battery. That is a strong battery. It looks like a 2-in-1 convertible tablet, right? With the 1080p touchscreen up top. Well, down below is a writing and sketching surface. They call it the Create Pad. And that actually also doubles as a touch surface keyboard. So there is no hardware keyboard here. There is a full surface down on the bottom that can show you the keys so that you see it's kind of like tapping on your display, but it's on its own dedicated surface. Or you can use it like a Wacom tablet. It's a Wacom surface with the accompanying screen up top. It includes a real pen stylus, has 2048 pressure sensitivity levels. You can do things like put a piece of paper on top of that touch surface and write with a pen that they've supplied. They have a very special pen, but it writes on the paper. So it's literally like writing the way that you're used to writing. But when you're doing it on top of that surface, it transcribes that digitizes that, I should say, into the tablet itself. And yeah, just kind of an interesting, unique approach to this form factor. $499 running Android, available in October. How do you feel about living your life typing on a keyless keyboard?
Well, that's the thing. Remember earlier in the show when I was encouraging Google, I was encouraging them to keep the crazy. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of crazy I'm talking about.
Yeah,
this is cool. Like this is innovative. I wouldn't expect it. I mean, it's challenging the way you use devices and giving you, you know, like giving you new forms of interaction and new design with a piece of hardware. If you got a tablet section like that is versatile, that can be written upon, drawn upon, typed upon, that's really cool. I'm impressed by this. I dig it a lot. So mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Very outside of the realm of what we're used to seeing with that flat surface. And actually, Lenovo has said, we plan on doing this with more of our line. So you get used to seeing this flat surface, you know, that's kind of like Wacom capable, and a flat keyboard with no keys, because this is what we're buckling down on.
And I think that's great, because like we just said, there's so much lack of diversity in these products. It's another tablet, it's another phone, it's another thing like that. And there's really no way to differentiate yourself when everyone's running the same specs, the SRAM operating system. You know, up to this point, a lot of people have just made the UI look different. But this is cool. This is saying, okay, how can we challenge your notion of what a tablet is, and create a device that could be usable in your everyday needs? I think that's very cool. I applaud Lenovo.
Keep that crazy, Lenovo. You do that. Then we have the Moto Z Play Droid. Moto Z Play Droid preview. Moto Z Play Droid 5.5-inch display, 1080p on that display, 16-megapixel camera, octa-core processor, 2 gigs of RAM, 3510 milliamp hour battery. They rate that around 50 hours. That's really nice right there. Running Android 6.0.1 Marshmallow. They say it launches next month on Verizon in the U.S. as, like I said, the Moto Z Play Droid, because they've got to add that one extra word on there, Droid, to have it work for Verizon branding. Right around the $400 price point. Capable of the Moto mods and all that kind of stuff, which, I have not seen these Motorola phones in person yet. They're like one of the few big kind of flagship announced phones as of late that I have not seen or played around with yet. I'm really, really curious to kind of, have some sort of experience with these Moto mods.
If Florence ever remembers to come back to the show, she'll bring hers, because I know she's been using it as a daily driver with the Hasselblad camera attachment. I can't wait to get my hands on it either. So I'm kind of excited to be back in studio next week, and hopefully she brings it. We'll have to make sure she brings it, because I want to play with it. I want to snap it on and off. I want to see what it feels like.
Yeah, we'll have to gently nudge her to bring that, make sure and bring that, and whatever hardware. Yeah, she's using the Moto Z Force right now to cover an event, which I don't know if we have the full news on that event yet. Has it hit at this point?
I saw quickly on Twitter she was complaining about it being hot. The Moto Z Force is,
Do you want to do some breaking news?
Let's do some breaking news.
All right, I think it's time for some breaking news. Let's do it. Are you ready, Mac and Josh, for some breaking news?
Prancing Nougat in the meadow sings a song of satisfaction to
the All right. I may have jumped to it a little early, but I only pulled the first link that I found, but we might as well. LG has launched the V20 smartphone. It is the first device with Android 7.0 Nougat. That's the event actually that Flo is at right now.
I just dropped in an Instagram photo that she posted.
She's doing her coverage on Instagram. Okay.
Yeah, and Snapchat, although we can't show that, but...
Okay. Dual camera system, second display located at the top of the phone. It does have a headphone jack, in case you were wondering if they were going to pull that out. It has some audiophile features, 32-bit hi-fi quad DAC, which LG says is the first for a smartphone. So it's going to have great digital to analog converters inside to retain that audio information that audiophiles love to have. Also support for lossless formats, FLAC, among others, many others, actually, it looks like. Sorry, I'm scanning through this while we're talking about it. Oh, is this from her, right?
Yep, she posted that.
There we go. Here it is, the LG V20 being unveiled live on stage in San Francisco. So I don't know if everybody in the event are getting these for review. We'll cross our fingers. Maybe she'll hop in next week also, not only with the Moto phone, but with the V20. See what that's all about. Snapdragon 820, 4 gigs of RAM, 5.7-inch display. Available, obviously, you know, Best Buy, B&H, whatever, as well as AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, and Sprint. Pricing left to the major carriers, so we don't actually really know right now exactly what that's going to cost. But, so it's official. So this is actually kind of a good milestone to reach, because we've known for a while that the V20 was rumored to be the first device to ship with Nougat. I guess we don't know when it's actually shipping, but we know it's been announced. So really, Google's official announcement, thinking about this, could happen anytime, although it sounds like it's probably going to be October 5th. But yeah, we needed to get beyond the V20 in order for that to happen.
Yeah, October 4th is the date.
Or October 4th.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, which is a Tuesday. So hopefully that happens, and then we'll be able to talk about it. So.
Oh, I hope so. It never works like that. It's always the Wednesday.
Yeah. It would be cool.
All right, cool. We got some breaking news in there. Excellent.
Very good stuff. All right, so moving on to Huawei. Apparently I'm on the mid-range phone beat because Huawei chimed in with some mid-range phones. We got the Huawei Nova, which is a 5-inch device with a 1080p display, octa-core 2 gigahertz Snapdragon 625, 3 gig of RAM, 32 gig of storage, micro SD card, 12 megapixel rear-facing camera. When it's f/2.2, what is that? Is the folk? How do I say that?
F2.2? Yeah, f2.2. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm not a camera guy, so I don't know. Miriam would yell at me for this, but okay. So with the focal, is that focal? I guess it's focal. F2.2, 8 megapixel front facing camera with f2.0, over 3000 milliamp battery, fingerprint sensor, USB-C, running Android 6.0, and it's going to cost you €399. And if you're looking for something still in the mid range, but something a little higher, a little bigger, you can get the Nova Plus for 5.5 inches, 1080p, 16 megapixel camera with OIS, 3,340 milliamp battery, but otherwise basically the same as the Nova 5. And it's €429. And you can get both of them in silver, gray, gold, and they're built from aluminum. Basically, it looks like a 6P. And they're going to be available in early October.
Man, from the back, they really look like the 6P.
Yeah. And to those in the chat room, I know the f2.2 is the aperture. I understand that. But it's just how you say that in presenting it. So.
Right.
They've also got – should I go into the tablet? Yeah.
Although just show you real quick. So it, between what was just shown and this, like this – comes out and up here, and on the newly announced Nova phones, it looks like it's kind of rounded all the way down. That kind of looks better to my eyes, like that, in what we're seeing now versus the 6P. See how it doesn't kind of come up to that lip up at the top? It's just kind of all one seamless size. Maybe this gets it the way it is on the 6P, probably gets a little bit thinner, a tiny bit thinner.
Yeah, you get less. Like you get less of a pronounced lip on the six with these new phones as opposed to the 6P.
Yeah.
So then finally, they have the MediaPad M3, which is an 8.4-inch tablet. It's 2560 by 1600 widescreen at an 8:5 aspect ratio. It's got an octa-core 64-bit high silicon Kirin 950 chipset. 4 gig of RAM. It's got an LTE option, micro SD. It's got 64 gig of storage, a whopping 5,100 milliamp battery, micro USB, fingerprint scanner. There's another tablet with a fingerprint scanner, Jason. Mm-hmm. 8 megapixel rear and front facing camera with front facing's got no flash. Got a metal unibody, twin Harman Kardon speakers. This sounds like a nice device. And it starts at €349 for the 32 gig model with Wi-Fi, and up to €449 for the 64 gig LTE version. And that's going to be available in just a couple of weeks on September 26th.
Yeah, it's got a slick design. Nice. I mean, Huawei is doing really well with their kind of metal body design. Just their design in general, I've been really liking what I've been seeing coming out of Huawei. Their UI, not so much, but I suppose you can always throw a different launcher on there to get around that to a certain degree. But yeah, this looks really nice. I would love to play around with this as well. They produce internally the high silicon Kirin 950 chipset. So that's their chipset. They aren't relying on another one. So I'd be curious to hear how that performs in comparison to some of the kind of standard ones that we see all the time, the Snapdragons and such. And finally, ZTE. I feel like we rarely had talked about on the show until the Axon 7 kind of became a thing. Now they're on the radar, and now there is the ZTE Axon 7 Mini, which, as you can imagine, is like the Axon 7, but smaller. 5.2-inch 1080p AMOLED display. The Axon 7 is actually 5.5-inch, so it's a small amount shorter, I suppose. Snapdragon 617, down from an 820 on the 7. 3 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs storage, micro SD card slot, 16-megapixel rear-facing camera. 8-megapixel front-facing camera. It's a 2705 milliamp-hour battery, USB-C with quick charge, 2.0 there. Fingerprint sensor, dual front-facing speakers, just like the ZTE Axon 7. It's one of the things I really like about the Axon 7, actually, is the sound through the speakers. And available end of this month for €299. So, even less expensive than the ZTE Axon, which is at that magical $400 sweet spot. So this comes in a little bit less power, I'd say, a little bit smaller. But I'd be very curious to see how it performs compared to its bigger sibling, because I've been very impressed with the Axon 7. It's been a pretty great phone, and I'm looking forward to comparing it side by side with the Honor 8 and kind of seeing how they compare against each other.
Yeah, it's a little over $300, like $336 at that price. So not bad.
Man, it's a good time to be alive. Good time to have not enough money for a premium smartphone, but have enough for the $300 to $400 price range. You get a lot for your money now.
It's never been a better time to be in the mid range.
Yes, that's actually pretty true. I would completely agree with that.
Because for years the mid range, well, the low end wasn't usable, and the mid range was just like nearly close to the low end, but now there's some pretty solid phones.
Yeah,
so.
They really, really separated themselves. Excellent. That's IFA. I'm sure we missed things. I know we didn't talk about the Samsung Gear S3. I didn't put it in there because it's not actually Android. And I know we've talked about it in the past, but at this point, we know, we get it. Yeah, Samsung does ties in with their wearable, so I don't know. I don't know if we need to talk about it.
And we talked about Samsung a lot with the exploding batteries.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Good point. All right, there you go.
All right. Well, let's do an email quickly before we take a break. And this comes from someone, the very mysterious R.
Oh, R.
Not me, writes in and says, on episode 281, you mentioned that you use the Twilight app instead of the new night mode, since it has the option to automatically kick in slowly at sunset based on your location. There's a way to configure this for night mode if you still have the tile by previously having a developer build. And he's referring to if you had the developer build of Nougat and you installed the official release and night mode snuck in, stayed there on your pane. He says if you tap and hold the tile, you get a setting screen. So
let's see here.
See?
So we've got night mode.
Yep.
And then night mode. And I tap and hold. And what do you know? There we go. Is.
So I feel like not only does that point out if you still have night mode how you can actually configure it, but that also is a UI lesson for those of us with Nougat, is that if you tap and hold on the panes in the notifications, you get to those settings.
Yeah. Although I've never had another cat come to my device. I've only had the two initially.
Wow.
And what is going on here? I thought I activated it. Apparently, do I need to put food out, I guess? Yeah, I probably do. Here, I'll go ahead and put some food out.
Fish.
All right, we'll see when that comes along. Pretty important stuff right here.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
Crossing my fingers, because, man, this is really important to me. Before we head into the arena, let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode, and that's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. If you've ever gone through the process of getting a mortgage, there's the good stuff, which is living in your house, enjoying the fact that it's yours and you bought it and you and the whole approval process is behind you. And then there's the approval process that got you there. And at least in my case, that, you know, it just takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of digging out information from random obscure places to give the right information to be able to secure that mortgage and to get to the fun stuff, which is living in the place that you're going for. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage approval process into the 21st century. It's fast, powerful, and completely online. Rocket Mortgage has taken all the complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage out of the equation. So if you hate searching through stacks of old files and paperwork and filing cabinets and all that kind of stuff, well, here you go. Here's your solution. With Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share your bank statements and pay stubs at the touch of a button. That's going to help you get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to your unique financial situation. Even better, with Rocket Mortgage, you can do all of this on your phone or your tablet. You already have everything you need. It's in your pocket, probably. It's a quick online process that you can manage from the convenience of your couch or on the subway or, I don't know, wherever you happen to be, and you're there with your phone. Hey, why not fill out the process for a mortgage? So if you're looking to refinance your mortgage or buy a home, check out Rocket Mortgage. They make it easy. Today at quickenloans.com/android. That's quickenloans.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. All right. And now, I hope you're ready. It's time for the arena!
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena!
That hurt.
Oh wow, that was inspired, Jason. I was impressed. I was very impressed by that.
I strained myself a little bit too much on that one. Take one for the team.
Yep.
Taking a look at last week's poll. Inkwire is the big winner. That was a pretty cool app. 55% for Inkwire. Screen share and assist. YNAB, you need a budget, came in second at 26%. No matter how excited you get about a budget tool, it's just really hard to make it sexy. I understand. Yeah. I get it. But still, it's going to change the way you do this stuff. And then finally, Homebot with 19%. That was customized home button.
Yeah, I maybe shouldn't have done two home nav bar apps in a row, but what can you do? Important to note that in terms of the standings, the guests are starting to run away with this, Jason. This is unprecedented. Guests are in the lead through 35 weeks on 2016. Guests have 12 wins. Flo is still in second with 9. And Jason, you and I are tied for third with 7 wins. So it's you and me. This is head-to-head arena action. One of us will start closing the gap on Flo and the guests and leave the other one behind. So let's find out who that's going to be. I guess it's my turn because I came in last.
That's right. You are up first.
So this app I thought was interesting for two reasons. One, because it does a little bit of modification to your home screen UI to change the way you use your device, and it also has a little bit of an Easter egg for NuGet users. But the app is called Taskbar. And basically what it does is it allows you to introduce almost like an app draw or, you know, a button on your device that launches a pane that is almost like, I don't know, you remember the classic start menu from Windows days?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So I installed this actually on my tablet. And you're on the next 6P, so that's big enough as well, too. So there it is. But so when you open up Taskbar like Jason has done there, what you see is you can turn it on in the upper left. And when you tap it, it basically just gives you a list of your apps. And you can customize how that list looks, where it sits on your phone, what it shows. You can, you know, I think the most standard one is to have it list all your most recent apps. So there you go. So yeah, so what you can do is you can change, if you scroll up there, you can change the positioning of it. Scroll up or down. There you go. So yeah, so you can change the menu layout from either a list or a grid. You can see that reaction. There it is. You can change the position of it. So right now it's on the left side horizontal, but you can change it to be vertical or on the right side horizontal or vertical. Why don't we do left vertical there so you can see it. So see, and it pops out. And now tap the button. And there they come.
There they go.
So it's you know, we talked a lot about when, you know, when there is or isn't an app draw and that sort of thing. But this really harkens back to the day of the great Windows XP start button that is able to, you know, to see that list of apps and access them really quickly. But what's neat is that if you're running NuGet, you can also set it so that any apps that are launched from Taskbar launch in the movable windows feature that is now part of NuGet. You need to do a little bit of developer tinkering. It's all the way down at the bottom. So freeform window support. So when you tap that, it tells you that in order to do that, you got to go to your developer options and go all the way down to the last one, all the way down to the bottom one.
Force activities
and there you go. Force activities be resizable. Yep. And so now, and then you actually do need to reboot your device. That's the only challenge. That's the only annoying thing. So you don't have to do that.
Oh,
but
okay.
what this would do is that when you launch apps from Taskbar, they will launch in a resizable window like within NuGet, which is cool. So if you install this on a laptop, not a laptop, on a tablet, you essentially get a Windows laptop-esque environment where you've got a little start menu and then you've got Windows opening up. I did this. I had my calculator running. I had a browser going, and it's pretty neat. So, yeah, so all this is free in the Google Play Store. Taskbar lets you, you know, access your recently launched apps quickly and easily. You can customize where it lives, where it looks, how it behaves. And if you're running NuGet, you can actually have movable windows. And actually, Josh, if you press play on that YouTube video on the Google Play Store, you can see the movable windows thing in action. You can skip ahead a couple of seconds into it. Yeah, there you go. So go back. Yeah, so here they...
Ah, nice.
Yeah. So here they opened it up, and they're going to tap on an app. And this is obviously running on a tablet. And here they open up Google Plus, and it's in a little resizable movable window. So
nice.
So that's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
Yep.
Excellent.
So Taskbar, free in the Google Play Store. Check it out.
Taskbar. Excellent. If you'd like to go to the bar, you might, and you'd like to get things done, then you might like Taskbar.
Go to the Taskbar.
excellent. And that is free. Mine is an app. So I'll set the stage. You open up your phone app or your contacts app, and you look at all the contacts you have, and every once in a while you see a little picture of somebody. Everything else is just like that default blah, the default thing that Google does for contacts that don't have any images. Maybe you want your images to be a little bit more dynamic than that, and I'm going to try and maneuver this carefully, Josh, so I'll let you know. Yeah, you can take it right now. So this is like the top of my contacts, and I've already run my Copy Plus, which is the name of the app, through here, but go ahead and jump in here. This used to be one of those standard kind of contacts, you know, basic colored things that Google provides to you when it doesn't have a contact image. But what this does is very interesting because it's not doing this randomly. And you can see anything that I've painted with this, they're all kind of, I'll have to blur that out, I suppose. But they're all similar. Similar kind of color profile or whatever, but all the shapes and everything are done algorithmically based on certain criteria. So we'll go into my Copy Plus here. First things that I should let you know is that I would recommend, because you're making changes to the contacts that you have in the cloud, that you back this up. How do you do that? There is a restore contacts method in Google Contacts. So on my browser, on my desktop, I went into Google Contacts and I saved, basically backed up to a CSV file, my contacts, and then I can restore those later. They also have the Google Contacts in the cloud has a restore contacts method that works for up to 30 days, so you can revert to an older instance of your contacts list, let's say. So if you make changes and you decide you don't want to do it, you want to revert back, you can go into Google Contacts and you can do that through the web to revert to a date prior to when you do this. So keep that in mind. There is a way to undo it. You just have 30 days to do it. But here's what's happening. So I'll show you on the app. I'm going to go ahead and pick a single contact, and let's go into Tower. I realize that I have one here already. But essentially, this is newly created. You can see it's a little different than the one that I had done there. It actually takes certain qualities, certain things from the contact that it sees. You can base it on the initials, so it would be the first name, or pick the first three names, or none and do it completely random. You can select these different kind of patterns for it to do. You can randomize it by selecting more than one. And I also, when I did this, I enabled backups of my existing profile pictures onto the local storage just so that I have them in case I ever want to find them and reassign for whatever reason. And then you can go through, and earlier today I did automatic mode. I've already done it, so all my contacts are painted basically. But you can do this, and it will search for any of your contacts that have missing pictures. Or you can choose to overwrite any of the contact images that you already have, which I didn't really want to do that. The contacts that I have actual images for, I want those to stay there. But the other ones, might as well make them look neat. Make them look more high res. Make them look just interesting. And so I did missing pictures. And it took probably about 5 minutes and went through all my contacts and just kind of reassigned new contact images based on the information that is gathered from that contact entry. So that specific information informs how it's painted. So what, you know, what the order of the colors or the shapes or whatever. So it seems random, and to a certain degree it kind of is for all intents and purposes, but it's actually chosen algorithmically based on the information that you have there. So it's always unique. So anyways, I thought it was a pretty cool way to kind of spruce up your contacts list a little bit, bring some color to it, make it just a little bit more interesting to look at, you know, a little less boring, as they say here. And yeah, I think the main thing, though, that you should understand is that you are making changes to your contacts list in the cloud. And anytime you do that, I suppose you run a risk of something. So make a backup of it, or understand that you can undo it within 30 days using Google's, you know, option through their site. And you can see right here, like, the old method is just that plain C. Using this, it kind of brings a little bit of dimension and color quality to it. And you can kind of play around with it and change it dynamically on the fly, as you see here. So it's called Mycopy Plus. There is a free version. I was using the paid version, which is only 99 cents. And I think it works really well. So check it out if you want to bring a little color and a little spruce up to your contacts list. So go to bit.ly/AAAVote282. Yes, we're changing it on you. bit.ly/AAAVote282 to vote for your favorite app this week. Is it Taskbar or is it Mycopy Plus? You can place your vote. We'll check in on it next week and see which is the winner. Yeah, you said the guests were running away with it. To have a guestless episode means that we are forced to close the gap a little bit. That wasn't intentional.
A little bit. Yeah, and it totally was unplanned, but no. Hey. We need it. We'll take it.
Hey, I'm not going to complain. That sounds good to me. So that's it for this week. Next week, of course, Flo will be back here. We'll get an awesome guest back into the rotation so we can keep the guest momentum going here. But that is it. Ron, what do you have as closing words for this evening?
Well, so next week I will be right there next to you in person. I'll be back in studio, so I'm looking forward to that. So you, me, and Flo will be reunited along, I'm sure, with an exciting guest, and it'll be a blast.
Yep.
But in addition, I'm taking advantage of being back in the West Coast, and I'm going to be co-hosting the Screensavers this Saturday with Leo. And so once again, I'm calling out to you guys, the Android faithful. If you have any Android-related questions or any anything, technology questions, you know the things I talk about. I'm not going to say the P word after last week's episode, but pinball. But if you have any questions at all, please email in to newscreensavers@twit.tv. And Leo and I will do our best to answer the questions. They don't even need to be Android related. I know a lot about computers. I know a lot about home theater entertainment, that sort of stuff. So write in, let's get represented. Make sure you mention that you watch All About Android as well in your email. That'd be awesome. Yes. But in the meantime, go follow me at twitter.com/RonXO. And that's where you can find all the links to all the fun stuff that I'm working on.
Awesome. Thank you, Ron. I like the Just You and Me show. I think this works.
It was fun. Well. It was good. I think we're doing all right.
I think we're doing okay. Josh, yeah. The Mac and Josh, what about you? Where can people follow you?
You can always follow me on Twitter at The Mac and Josh there.
That makes sense.
Okay. And also on Instagram, the same thing.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Excellent. Good work.
I'm going to be a little bummed after tomorrow's Apple announcement that they're going to, I heard they're going to take the headphone jack out of my phone.
Yeah, well, they're not going to take it out of the phone that you already
have.
No,
I think they are. That's what I keep hearing.
I read that. They're going to come to your house and they're going to remove it.
They're removing the headphone jack, Jason.
And as they remove it, they're going to stare at you deep into your soul and they're going to say, you've been using this wrong all this time.
Yeah. Yep. It's going to happen.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes. All right. Well, I hope you enjoy not having a headphone jack anymore.
Thanks. Yeah.
I'm going to enjoy the fact that I have a headphone jack, and I hope I plan to continue having a headphone jack on whatever my next phone happens to be.
I did get to explain tonight. Somebody asked me when Apple removes the headphone jack, question was, how am I going to listen to things now? And I had to explain Bluetooth and that sort of thing. So
they're not getting rid of your ability to listen to things. They're just getting rid of that particular port.
Yeah. I'm totally, speaking of the Apple announcement, totally forgot that I'm also going to be on This Week in Google tomorrow. So after all the Apple nonsense,
you are all over the place.
I'm just all over the place, but I'll be back talking Google stuff. So you can watch that tomorrow.
That's awesome. Have fun on This Week in Google. It's a lot of fun. It's a good show. You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Follow my music at yellowgoldmusic.com. And get a shirt, teespring.com/twit, for twit-related t-shirts and garb and all that kind of stuff. You can find it all there. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email, AAA@twit.tv, or a video mail if you prefer. Twitter at Android Show. We're on Reddit at twitaaa.reddit.com. We have show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. Also, our episodes, YouTube and iTunes. And we are live every Tuesday around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone.